When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are ASAP Science here to make things make sense.
Today we are talking about cannabis or marijuana and sleep, whether or not it's good for you when you're sleeping or you're trying to get a better sleep, or is it detrimental? We'll also be talking about the differences between THC and CBD and how that might play a role in this. But first, we'll be talking more about birds, classic on Greg's part, as well as the impact of your romantic relationships on your health.
I did a little citizen science yesterday by eating marijuana and then sleeping.
like for this podcast.
But it was someone I was like trying to decide. It was a beautiful Monday. I wanted to go bird watching, go to the island. I was like, should I eat an edible? I was like, I don't know. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't. And then I was like, oh, tomorrow's podcast is about marijuana impact. I was like, maybe I should.
Yeah,
just
right.
Just to see how it impacts my sleep.
Yeah, right. Every day you're sending me this message. Like, I think I'm going to do an edible today.
That's not true. Girl, you need to bite your lip because I'm like, you're sending me those text messages a lot.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Throw it back at you so hard.
No, I just mean like the podcast, there was no bearing on that. Maybe your last minute like little cherry on top was the pod, but
yeah, no, it's true. It's true.
I'm suffering through allergy season. I don't know if anyone else can relate. I just feel like every year it's worse and worse and worse. And so
I have white privilege and I have allergy privilege. I'm like, oh, that sounds awful, but I've never felt it.
What is a condition or something that you... Oh, gout.
Gout?
Okay.
Are you kidding? I can shout from the rafters that I have gout.
I have gout privilege.
Yeah, you have gout privilege.
Because I was like, I get more mosquito bites. I just feel like all these different problems, like, I'm like, why do I suffer them all?
Actually, yesterday I went to the beach and was like slathering on this horrible sunscreen that I bought that is like so chemically. And I was like, we've done an episode, look back, on side note about how horrible sunscreen can be. And I looked at all the ingredients in the one I was using. I was like, this is all the bad stuff we talked about.
No.
It was like burning my skin, putting it on and just like looking at all these like cute guys on the beach who had such nice tan skin and weren't putting on sunscreen. And I was like, being white is hard. I was like, you
actually,
know,
yeah, that I do have that privilege over you. Where like,
the one issue with my white privilege is that I have to slather on sunscreen and like truly look like a pasty, disgusting ghost. Everyone else was like, I'm not putting on sunscreen. It's May 20th or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. I like to wear sunscreen, but I at least if I'm not and I get caught in the sun, I'm not like, oh my God, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Like, for the most part,
no,
I'll be
I'm
fine.
Absolutely screwed. Okay.
All right, let's move on.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
So I was watching Turns.
Classic.
The beach.
I wonder how many of these have been about birds now.
Well, no, I'm going to do it until the end of June when they're like migration season's over.
Okay. So Turns are
so cool. Okay. They're like, if you think you're around this time, if you're in Toronto and you go to the waterfront, you might think you see a seagull. But if you look closely and you see like gorgeous, delicate wing.
Delicate.
Like the way that their wings are like designed, they're kind of like shaped very like angular. Actually, I went bird watching with friends
like
and they were like, they're kind of like the 90s model of seagulls. Like they're very like, it's very like
Kate
Moss. Yeah, it's very like, yeah, like thin and like kind of like gorgeous or whatever. And they have this like really intense black head, a really cool red beak, and they like dive and eat fish near the top of the water, like they're so cool to watch. Once you notice them, it's like, wow. There's also Caspian terns, which are way bigger, which could be here too. But I found out that common terns can, I've noticed that they glide near the water and they're drinking the water. They like slide across cool. and drink it. And they can drink fresh or salt water. And when they drink the salt water, there's a part of their like beak and nose where they eject the salt out and consume Whoa. Just fresh water.
Cool.
So it's like they're actually doing like the thing that we can't.
Yeah, like, the thing where we're like, we're running out of fresh water.
Yeah. And like the terns are like, wow, all the humans are dying, but we're going to be fine. Isn't that cool?
Wow. So it's just some kind of filter?
Yeah. And also they almost went fully extinct in the early 1900s because in our areas, like in Toronto and Eastern Canada, because Victorian hats, they would kill the terns and just put the fully, like not even just the feathers, just a full tern on a hat.
What?
I know. I like looked at photos. They're like going to the opera and it's like people with hats with bird like birds. Like taxidermy birds on the hat.
Oh my God.
And then they like realized that they were all dying out and they passed a like bird protection act. And then I guess fashion changed. And then now they're
that's
back.
Crazy.
They're fine. Like they're not
they're endangered. Not endangered anymore. Yeah. Okay. That's good. Well, I want to look up those photos now. This is not my What Did You Learn This Week, but I told you the other day from my book I was listening to how every bird has like a different like vantage point with their eyes and like, you know, humans' eyes face forward.
Yeah.
But it was saying how like ducks' eyes, which are on the side of them, almost have a 360 view around. Like not all birds do. And so it was interesting to think about how we move into the world because we move forward into our vision, but they move through it. So they're seeing part of the world move away from them, behind them, and then part of it. You know what I mean? So it's just like to think about such a different kind of perspective on how you move through the world. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I was reading about how great blue herons' eyes go straight down. So they don't have to ever move their head to look at the fish below them. So they can stand still, shoot and their eyes down, see, and then be like, and eat it.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, in this book, it was like they don't even have to aim their eyes down. Their vision is like, what do you say, vertical. So they can see the fish even when they're facing their face forward.
It's so embarrassing that we have to turn our head.
Well, so do owls, okay?
Yeah, but way cooler. They don't turn their like if someone's like Greg from behind, like the flailing of my body, like
that's interesting that a lot of animals don't. And there was another viral TikTok where people were laughing at this male bird trying to like do a display call to a female, and everyone was like, she's turning her head sideways, she's ignoring him. And then the person was like, that's how she's looking at him, because she can see from the side of her face.
Oh my God, that's so mean. You know what I mean? Like, rejected.
To us, we see that she's like looking forward, but birds have eyes on the side of their face, so she's like is able to see him.
Oh my God. Okay, now back to terns. When they're trying to court their mate, they grab fish and throw them and feed the female. So they just like throw fish at her, and then she's just like yum yum yum.
The poor fish is just like wah!
That's like so cute though. And also if you get near tern nests as a human, they'll either like attack and peck at you, or they'll shit on you.
Oh, that's like how that's they protect their young.
That's amazing. Like they know that these like humans, if you shit on them, are gonna run away screaming.
So
they're like, maybe we don't have to peck them. But like sometimes I've never thought about when you get shit on by a bird, it could have been intentional if you were in a nesting space.
Right, and it's just trying to be like, get away from me.
Because I feel like sometimes people are like, that bird shit on me. It's like, it actually might have. And it's
wanted to.
So yeah, in tune.
Accidentally.
No, it's like, think of the evolution. They've been around long enough. They know how to shit point blank onto you.
That gives such a different perspective. It's like so targeted. You're like, that bird actually doesn't like you.
Well, I think more importantly, it means you could be near a nest, in which case you should leave.
But you know, if you're a group of people and it's like it hit you, I'm curious how good their aim is, and maybe they're like, I'm aiming for that person.
Yeah, no,
it'd be amazing. Like, we just think they're flying and like, oh, I got a toot, and it like comes out, but they're actually they're actually like heat seeking on you. Okay, moving on from birds, I'll make mine quick. It's about the impact of your relationships. It is about any kind, but in particular, they studied romantic relationships on your health. So there's something called the shared resource hypothesis.
Yeah.
And it's because romantic couples share physical environments and social networks, which means that a lot of their behaviors and moods are shared because of those things.
It's so funny. I'm like, we like try so hard to not spend time together.
Yeah, which I think is a good thing.
Oh, okay. I was about to be like, we don't really have that. Oh, okay.
It's basically getting to the point that you end up influencing each other when you even don't mean to, because you share resources, right? Like your friends, your circle, your environment. So ultimately, this previous research focused on like the connection of sedentary behavior and depression within somebody. So if you're not moving and if you're isolated, how depression affects you. This study was looking at how does it affect your partner. And so basically they found when one person in a relationship is depressed, the partner became more sedentary. Then, and the opposite was true too. When one person became more sedentary, the partner was more likely to become more depressed.
Oof, I was thinking of it the opposite. Like, this is looking at it in like a bad
Yeah, way. Obviously, maybe you'd be like, yeah, you have a partner who's like helping you get, like, yeah, okay, this is me and you. Like, I'm making you more depressed, but you're actually helping me, like, get out
I'm like,
the
it's
world.
Funny, we don't spend any time together and I'm thriving. I'm kidding.
No, but I'm sure it does work in the opposite way, yeah. Where if one partner is like expanding your social horizons and making sure you're not sedentary.
There could be positive, yeah.
Yeah. I like to think I'm not super sedentary because I love going on walks and stuff.
I love that. Like, I go on my walk.
I love to walk.
But I do feel like that can happen, like, for sure. I'm more likely when I'm not with you to do things.
It makes sense, yeah.
But not
and
even
I'm not.
But okay, but I'm not even blaming you. I'm like, even me, it's like
just yeah, you're
just
alone,
having
you're...
someone there that's not doing anything makes you kind of be like, well, I'm not gonna do it. Like,
yeah.
It's not even necessarily that you're even doing anything to impact the other person or me, for example. It's just like, oh, you're modeling that.
Yeah, and I
it's
think
fine
like,
to stay inside.
When we're together, just the two of us at home, we're maybe more likely to be like, let's just throw a show on and like sit
yes,
down and watch
yeah,
it.
Exactly. But
whereas
I don't
if you're
that
alone, like I obviously watch TV a lot more than you maybe, but I am more likely if I'm alone to be like, maybe I will message a friend or just like, should yeah. I go do something and go on a walk more yeah. likely? So it makes sense anecdotally.
And
as
it's
well.
Weird. It's like, everyone's like this. They sound like the most insane couple ever. Like, we're never together. But I do, like, I'm obviously obsessed with bird watching and there's bird migration now, but I have bird watched alone so much recently. And I think it's because I'm alone. Because like, I realize, like, yeah. I don't have to say anything to anyone. I don't have to, it is a little, I don't have to justify that I'm biking to High Park for mm-hmm. 45 minutes. Like, that feels kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, but if so you're like if you're activity. Left to, like, observe yourself doing it from someone else's perspective, it's sort of almost like you have to start defending why you're doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when you're around your partner, it's like, oh, by the way, I'm going to go to the store. And all of a sudden it becomes like, well, what are you getting? Could you get that? Like, there's all these, like, little things that make it mm-hmm. easier to, if like it's about being sedentary, in. That make it easier to be sedentary.
I agree.
Which is yeah. also nice. Like, it's like, like, it's also nice to, like, have camaraderie. And totally. You can be single and also be
and
lonely.
Being, like, having a night in and being sedentary isn't a problem. It's yeah. just, like, in this study they're finding you're going to be more sedentary and that your partner can influence that, but both ways, vice yeah. versa. What was I going to say? It says the reduced social interactions with others caused a decline in the size of social support networks.
You're gonna,
both
I
members.
Don't know why I thought you were going to say size of cock. I was like, wow, people are really going to get out.
So the sizes of cocks were decreasing.
Wait, sorry, decreased the size of what?
Social support networks for both members. That's if like one person has lowered their social interactions with others, it impacts both. With increased... Which increased the risk of depression, especially in vulnerable individuals. Yeah. So just good to know.
Social support network. That's such a like important concept mm-hmm. that is just like actually just like family and friends.
Yeah, that's
or
something
whatever.
That I struggle with, but I'm just like because I like to be alone so much, but I know the importance of being around friends and family and I enjoy being with friends and family, but I'm like, how do I balance it and not slip into the one side too deeply? Because wow. it's like actually thrilling to me to just like be alone.
Thrilling, but that's just because Zelda came out.
Yeah, but also lots of times when it's not out, I am just like, oh my god, I'm so excited to have a night alone tonight.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I love the word thrilling.
It is. I honestly mean that. I'm like, when I have a full night alone, I am like, ooh, what, the possibilities are endless.
Wow. I'm like, oh my god, I'm so alone, no one's ever loved me. And then I like walk out like through the Eaton Center to feel something.
Okay, shall we take a break and come yeah. back to talk about weed, which might also make you sedentary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
This is something I've been wanting to make an episode on for a long time. Were you going to say something?
No, I'm just laughing because I'm like, yeah, we talk about this all the time.
Like sleep and cannabis use. And I am hoping to make a larger video on our YouTube channel as well. But I think for me, I've always sort of had this experience that I hear people saying that it's helpful for your sleep. It's better for your sleep. A lot of people use it to help them fall asleep.
Yeah, people rely on it to fall asleep. Okay, yeah, I just repeat what you're saying.
But my personal experience is that when I, you know, whether it's an edible or vape or whatever, I feel that I have like the most cozy sleeps in the world. Like when I get into bed, I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be the best night of my life. And I wake up feeling like so bad.
Yeah.
Not so bad, but I definitely feel an impact where it feels like, was my sleep actually way worse?
And then,
even though I got the right amount of hours, because like when I drink, for example, like I'll wake up through the night and have to pee a lot, and I can tell like I'm hungover.
Oh my God, hangovers are real. Mm. And you're right. Like there's quite a difference between drinking and waking up.
And a big part of my interest at first was like, oh, like using marijuana instead of drinking means I don't feel as bad. That's awesome. And it also means my sleep's not screwed up. But I've been sort of feeling like, wait, I actually am so much more cranky, need so much more caffeine. What is the actual relationship? I want to look into the studies on like both THC and CBD. Are they useful for sleep? What do we actually know?
And it is very controversial because people are trying to say that it's helpful, and it's new research.
Yeah, and there's a huge market. Like our like street alone, not our actual street, but right near us, there's like weed shops everywhere. You know, there's so much money going into like the marketing behind what weed can do for you. And some of that's like based out of legitimate science when we talk about like studies on anxiety and depression. But sometimes it goes both ways, right? Like some people who consume a lot of marijuana end up actually being more anxious versus like it helping for anxiety. So in that exact same vein, it's like, okay, what is the research on sleep? That's what we're going to focus on today.
So go into some.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I thought I'd start with the sort of like positives, because this is a little bit of a spoiler alert, but there's a handful of negatives that I found. And I was like, I know a lot of people use cannabis for their sleep. There's a lot of people who have insomnia and are like, marijuana literally like saved me. And there's people who have all sorts of conditions that we won't get into, but it can be really useful. And so I want to be like sensitive to knowing that there are people who use it and find it very important for their life. And I don't want to take that away from anyone. But like in general, studies have found that people who are clinically depressed or who generally have worse sleep to begin with can improve their sleep with cannabis. There's people who are chronic insomniacs that there's been studies on that found like marijuana does help you fall asleep faster.
Interesting.
And that in those studies, they found that it led to like higher daily functioning. So you're like, okay, there is a positive correlation between marijuana and sleep. There's studies on veterans and people with PTSD who have found like it can help with sleep and less waking up through the night. And there's not just positive outcomes on sleep, but it can minimize pain, emotional problems, and really importantly, help decrease opioid use.
Okay, I'm going to have another edible today.
I'm actually surprised. You know, back in the day, we used to like almost always have an edible before we did the podcast.
Remember yeah.
That? But that was pandemic times.
That was pandemic. Like throughout all of the pandemic, we would do it on Fridays. Absolutely. As the kids are saying, litty. And we'd sometimes have a drink.
Do kids even say that anymore?
No, I know.
That's very millennial.
Like as like the millennials / maybe even like my Aunt Joanne is saying, litty.
But yeah, we used to like,
I can't believe
that was our most exciting thing because it was the pandemic. It was like we would record on Fridays and then it would be like so exciting because we'd be like, let's have an Eddie, have some drinks. And by the pod's over, we'll like have a party. Just the two of us.
The two of us. There was nowhere we ever were legally allowed to be. Yeah. We were locked in.
Whereas like today is a Tuesday. Not that like we wouldn't do it on a Tuesday, but we have other things after this we're wanting
to
do.
Yeah, and now also even on Fridays when we record, it's like, yeah, we usually can't. We have plans to eat edibles with other people later.
Yeah, or for me, I usually don't like to be high around other people or like in public. So because we actually go see other people now, I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna like be sober.
But it means that those Saturday mornings we could have been feeling rough. Or yeah, not. No, we need, because like those are all interesting.
Yeah, and
those are all related to people with conditions.
Exactly. That's what I wanted to say. The one thing that studies do show for like basically anyone is that something called sleep onset latency. So that's like how fast you fall asleep. It's decreased with THC, which means you actually like fall asleep faster. But
okay, I was gonna be like, that's the way that you made it sound, made it seem like it was harder to fall asleep, and I was like, I don't relate to that.
No, sorry, decreased means like the latency. Latency is like how long something takes. It's decreased, so it's shorter.
So you fall asleep quicker with THC in your system.
Yes, and that is why a lot of people
think it helps.
Yeah, are like, well, especially if you're insomniac or somebody who has trouble falling asleep.
Yeah,
you will be like, oh, weed is actually making me fall asleep faster. That's a good thing. It's kind of like a sleeping pill, or people do that with alcohol as well. Like you feel unconscious sooner, which is the big caveat.
Marijuana makes me hype. And so if I consume marijuana the way some people do, like right before bed, I can't fall asleep. But if I consume it like hours before and I'm in like the burnt out, it's leaving my system groggy phase, it helps me sleep. Or sorry, my latency is down. Sometimes I'm like, before my head even hits the pillow, I'm out. But not if I've just like,
yeah, you're like a hype high.
Yeah.
Greg will be like, we're going to do a million things. I'm like, I just want to chill and do nothing. And
well, because the way that THC works in your body is it, and the reason some people don't like it is that it causes anxiety and excitement are like physiologically linked, and it does that. So that's why people can get really anxious. But because I think I'm not an anxious person, my body physiologically is acting anxious. Like to me, I'm reading as excited and I'm like, and I just like go crazy and want to do it. And I could not sleep.
Yeah.
So, but it helps.
Like
me.
You are the, I've never, not that I've never, like there's not anyone else like this, but I've never met anyone else that's become more productive when high than you.
There are people like that.
Who? Like, you don't have to say their names, but like I can't think of one.
Literally, like we always talk about her, Iris, the smartest person in the world.
I haven't seen that person in 15 years.
But sorry, I just know there's other people that has that experience.
Yeah,
and some who don't.
I'm just saying in my experience, it's so interesting because it's not like I become like, I don't want to actually do nothing. In fact, a lot of times I will be like, oh, this is a perfect way to like clean and organize my stuff. And it's certain kinds of tasks. But for me, I like can't do work. I don't really want to like make music because I feel like stimulated in the wrong way. Whereas you're really good at being like, I'm going to paint. I'm going to go do all these tasks at work that I knew I wanted to do, but don't have the full motivation. Like it doesn't really give me motivation.
Yeah. Like if you ever get an email from me, I'm stoned.
And we can, and everyone can tell.
Yeah. They're like, Greg sent his email. It's like all
yesterday,
capitals.
You sent a text after taking the edible, like to a group thread. And I was actually like, this is not English.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Like I could open it now. It was about birding. It was to our birding group friend, like that.
No,
group.
Well, okay. I also don't know how to text, and every time I text, I don't know how to spell. So that is like in general me, but yeah, it's probably heightened when I'm stoned for sure.
Anyway, coming back to like marijuana and sleep. So that's like the side effects that are obviously, I mean, maybe for other people like you, if you can't go to sleep in time, that obviously is a negative impact on your sleep.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are lots of people out there who have a similar experience where it kind of like amps them up, and then sometimes you'll be like, it's too late for me to have one unless I'm okay staying up till 2 a.m.
Yeah, which I know is very weird.
Yeah. But I would feel that way too. Like I don't want to like go to bed right after I got.
But a lot of people we know do. Like it's like if we go on like to Airbnbs with friends and stuff, it's like, oh, the night's winding down, then they go and smoke their joint because they have to sleep.
Yeah. Okay. So are we okay to move into like study zone?
Yeah, yeah. That's because all mine are about how it doesn't help.
Do you want to start then? And I can kind of chime in as well.
Well, this one's more about like people who rely on weed to sleep and try and quit.
Rely on weed to sleep and then try and quit weed?
Yeah. Okay. And how it impacts your sleep in that sense. Okay. So it was a study on heavy marijuana users versus non-users. So if you're a heavy marijuana user, it means you've been using marijuana for over 2 years, 5 times per week.
Oh, whoa. That was heavy.
And I was like, okay, like I'm getting to heavy. I'm not quite heavy, but like some weeks I'm heavy. But yeah, so that's heavy marijuana. And then also only having used for 2 years. I'm like, okay, well, I'm coming up on like 16. But so...
That can't be good.
I know. It's like, yeah, it can't be good. They also tested their like urine and their blood because these... whether they were the control group with not marijuana or marijuana users, they would not be people who drank or any other drugs. They would have like...
They were focusing on marijuana and excluding
which I thought was kind of interesting. It was like, yeah, that's important.
You minimize the variables at least.
Yeah, and I was like, at least these heavy marijuana users aren't drinking. And so then they would get them to stop and then they studied their sleep through like a bunch of different like tech for like one night, second night, third night. Okay. And so the marijuana users had lower total sleep times, less slow wave sleep, and worse sleep onset. So they couldn't fall asleep as quick. Mm. And it got worse every single night.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like it was like there was like a bad night and then all of a sudden you're not smoking weed again and then you start to feel better. Like it actually got worse.
Even if they smoked weed again?
No, they're not smoking weed. They're like, so it's like
cutting them off.
Essentially the point is that
they're being cut off cold turkey.
Yeah. Okay. The point, and that's only for 3 days. Yeah. It's like the point was that it affects your sleep and therefore when you try to stop, it makes your sleep worse and hard to fall asleep. So I can see how people who rely on it to sleep
then we go, are addicted. I really need this.
Yes, yeah. Because it is going to not be easy to quit because it's going to make your sleep worse when you try to quit.
Totally. That is like what I basically found for a lot of insomniacs and people who, like the problem seems to be also like the at the beginning, like there are some studies that show your sleep can improve in the beginning, especially if you have a sleep condition or like have an issue. But the impact wears out over time. Like any drug, your body kind of becomes used to it and that there is like literal withdrawal when you stop. And one of the main withdrawal symptoms of cannabis is poor quality sleep. So I can see why becomes like such a huge challenge for people who are like, I'm doing it to get better sleep. When I stop, objectively and actually statistically, like your sleep is worse.
Yeah.
How do you get out of that hole? It's obviously challenging. Like, oh, Ernie, what are you crying for? Hi. He's like, I want to sleep and you guys are being so annoying. So yeah, I think that's, I don't know what the solution for anyone in that scenario is. It's like any drug withdrawal, right? Like you either have to find a way to slowly minimize.
It's like
quitting
hard.
Caffeine.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like everything becomes bad in your life when you're just like, I'm grumpy. I feel like crap. Everything about this is not good.
I'm never going to quit caffeine. Imagine I'm never going to quit weed. Oh, God. Okay,
but that's challenging. Like when you have to go about your daily life, because sometimes, for example, like with caffeine, I'm like, I want to minimize. Like I get in busy times when I start doing so much and I'm like, I want to lower this. And I can if I do it a little bit at a time. But as soon as something is busy in life, I need it again. Because otherwise I'm too grouchy or I'm too like... I can only quit it when I'm willing to sacrifice days of feeling crappy.
You're Brokeback Mountain to coffee. I wish I knew how to quit you. Well, why don't you?
The one study that resonated with me, because a lot of these studies are on people who often have like another condition, like insomnia, which is why they started using in the first place. But this one study found that high doses of THC at night can lead to unwanted side effects the following day, such as impaired memory and sleepiness.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, okay, that is my experience. And I've always felt kind of weird about it because I've heard so many people have positive experiences with weed. But I'm always like, I'm so groggy and I feel so tired. And it's both with an edible or just like vaping.
Yeah, the study I read was on mice and the cannabinoids that they consumed and gave to mice, it affects your ability to perceive time. So that's like what we know. Like sometimes you'll be stoned and you'll be like, this movie's 5 hours, but it's like an hour and a half. Or like you're in the park and you're like having so much fun. You're like, it's only 4. Or opposite. Sometimes you're like, it's already 7. Like it just like your perception of time's off. So they studied on mice and realized that it's messing with your circadian rhythms. So it's like your brain's impact of being able to tell time if there's THC in your system is off.
It's just like so off.
So therefore it's like that could affect your brain's ability to understand how long it slept, how long to sleep for.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's literally like the marijuana is messing up your perception of time even while asleep. So
even
that's obviously
subconsciously.
Yeah. Which is like an essential part of the circadian rhythm is time management.
Yeah, that is so interesting. I mean, we've always known, obviously, in everyone's anecdotal experiences, that weed slows down time. For me, the most present that becomes is when I'm brushing my teeth. And this is because I do it every day. My toothbrush, like, times it every 30 seconds.
When you're high, like, it's still
every
going.
30 seconds, my toothbrush goes, and then at 2 minutes, it goes like, it like buzzes a bunch.
Oh, cool.
So you know. And I've like, I've oh, have
I
it.
Have crazy pit stains. It just doesn't rip through my arm and I can like see from here. It's like, whoa.
I think your shirts are just like permanently stained.
No, I'm disgusting. Continue.
And when I have had weed, like when I'm sober, I can, I almost do it like perfectly. Like by the time I'm getting right to the end of where I would be in a quadrant of my teeth, it finishes. Like, with weed, I think I'm going at the same speed, but I'm always way ahead of it in that, like, I think it's been 2 minutes, but it's actually only been like 1 minute.
Oh, no, that's so
maybe like a minute and a half. It's not so extreme. And then I've noticed with alcohol, it's the opposite. I like, it's always finishing before I think I'm done. So my perception
oh my God,
of
that's
time is
so
faster.
A thing.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what alcohol,
like,
does.
The night just goes by.
Yeah. And I, and like, because I haven't had to drink. I haven't been able to drink because I'm on a medication for gout. I've gone out partying and been like, and probably also stoned. So there you go. Like the time's already slowing down. I'm like, this is
like the longest night of my life.
Yes. It's like, it is crazy that I'm getting in an Uber at 11:30. I would never do, like, without alcohol, that's an insane thing to do. To leave your house at 11:30, to go across the city, to go to
what? To start your night.
Just to, yeah, to what? Like, hang out and not talk to anyone because it's so loud. And then while you're even there, you're just like, oh my God, another song? Like, it's just like, oh my, like, and then you get home at like 2 and you're like, thank God. Then this weekend, like, I had some drinks and went out and came. It was like, it felt like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy. Like, it wasn't even that much alcohol.
It's like, it was a certain, like, point in the night where it suddenly becomes like, wait, the rest went so fast.
Yeah. And then I'm like, is everyone just drinking alcohol to cope with going out? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's so funny. It's like, it's obviously supposed to like be fun. But now that I've had this crazy sober, like months and months of soberness, I'm like, I feel like people aren't actually wanting to do this. And like, getting drunk is just a way to like pass the time.
Oh my God.
But it really does. It they're complete opposites in the time distortion.
Yeah. But what is interesting when it comes back to the studies is that they both have a similar impact on one part of your sleep, and that is REM sleep. So like alcohol, THC can block the REM part of your sleep cycle, which is why a lot of people who like use marijuana chronically don't have as many dreams. And then when you stop taking it, you often have
crazy dreams. Yeah.
And I was listening to Matthew Walker, who has that book I loved, like Why We Sleep, and he was saying, but some people will be like, no, but I do still have dreams. I'll have crazy dreams right before I wake up. And he was like, even within one night, it's the, because you have smoked or ate something earlier, it's the first couple stages of your sleep that like lose out on the REM. And then at the end of the night, it's your, like, body's trying to catch
crazy
up. Yeah. And he's like, his perspective is like, you don't ever really catch up, but your body's trying to get more REM sleeping because you've missed it. And so even within one night, it's like you might wake up and be like, I just had so many dreams. And that's near the end of your sleep. But a lot of people do have that experience of like not dreaming anymore.
But I was also like, read a meta-analysis that in majority of the studies find that, your slow wave sleep is decreased from marijuana. REM sleep is majority decreased. But there always will be studies that exist that say the opposite.
That kind of find. Yeah, I think that's why this is not controversial, but
it is
like,
you could cherry pick this to go the other way, but majority, like this meta-analysis was from a month and a half ago, and they're like, for every 4 studies that find it, THC decreases slow wave sleep, there's one that says it's the same and one that says it's better. So it's like, if you're actually going based on like statistics, the science is saying it's worse for your sleep, but the reason we all probably could, if we wanted to justify it, is because there's like one study from like the 90s that says the opposite. So it's kind of like people, you could get cherry picked information to make you told that it's better. And CBD also is like weirdly studied in a way where they're like, oh, it kind of helps, but there's like no reason why. And it's a little bit like probably selling you CBD.
Yeah, I have a few studies on CBD I'll get to in a second, but with, it's hard. Like, we're coming into an age where there actually finally is more and more research on cannabis and its use in many different places, right? Like, on whether teens and, like, a lot of research coming
on
like,
young people, how, it messes
like,
you
like, don't do it when you're young.
I know.
But even, like, when it comes to, like, I mentioned people with depression, people with, like, something related to their diet, like, there's a lot of different ways that we're finally able to look at it because of its legalization and sort of acceptance in many parts of the world. So I think we've yet to determine, and even Matthew Walker, who's like a sleep expert, is like, there's just not enough data. He's like, I would not recommend it as a sleep aid right now.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean like we might not learn more about it in the future, but you know.
But we also like, although the thing about us that's so bad is we're always like, oh man, I'm so tired, the edible, but then we're like, but we also ate like 3 bags of chips.
I was gonna bring that up.
Yeah, yeah, like, so we always are like, is it a salt hangover? Because we truly like,
and
get
we're just
the
like,
munchies.
Literally binge eating. Not like, so it is salt, but it's also just like eating 3,000 more calories
and
than I normally
not
do.
Moving. Like, when you and I like mm-hmm. have a night, going back to our like, what do we speak about being like, because Mitch refuses to be around people.
It's not refuse. It's
it is refuse. I'm always like, can we go see a movie? And you're like, are you crazy? I just had an edible. I can't leave. I can't even go on a walk. And I'm like,
I just
oh
need
my
4
God.
Hours and then I can go on
I know,
a walk.
But like, we'll talk about this in therapy. But like, we have to work on that.
No.
But, no, because, and I do think it's like,
everyone's different. Leave me alone.
No, I know that. I know that you're different, but I'm like, I think that is part of the reason why we could also have a really bad next day, because we haven't moved.
Yeah.
We're usually like, it's like, okay, if we both eat an edible,
we're like ordering
we're
out.
We're sitting and we're watching chips. TV for yeah. 4 hours. Like, doing other things that can that we kind of always laugh. We're like, which is it?
Yeah, I've been meaning to do some tests of my own to just be like,
you did. Okay. I thought once
I did, and I did feel a bit better. But the challenge is, I do not have the willpower. Once, like, I always think like, I'm not gonna eat that bad. I'm gonna try tonight. I'm gonna have an edible or whatever, and I'm gonna like eat really healthy.
You need to like,
I can't
cut up a pineapple and like have everything before done,
like set and yes, ready. That's yeah. true. I
because you can't
I've
rely
done,
on yourself.
But the even then, it's like I overeat. It's really hard. I'll be like
yeah.
eating healthy, and
true,
then I'm
true.
Like. An hour later,
you eat
I'm like
14
I need
pineapples.
Meal.
Yeah. It's like so much
which,
sugar.
As much as healthy food is obviously good for you, like large quantities are going to make your body have to digest differently. You're going to bed with food in your yeah. stomach. And like, that's exactly true. That, of course, there's other factors for me personally, and I'm sure many other people, like alcohol. It's not, alcohol is bad for
you. But then
your
it's what you drink
you,
at night.
Yeah.
I
you're
mean,
like,
sorry, eat at night.
Are you dehydrated? Are you eating like crap? Are you going to bed at 3 a.m.? Like, yeah. even when I'm on an edible, it's like, I'm staying up. It's the weekend. I'm going to bed at the wrong yeah. time. Like, I've been feeling super tired recently, and we're going to do another episode on this because Zelda came out, and it's not like I've been high necessarily, but I've been staying up late.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my sleep schedule is messed. Yeah. Even just that alone is enough at this age to really disturb me.
Yeah, so marijuana can mess with your sleep schedule because it can be involved with like maybe a night when you're with friends, staying out later and all mm-hmm. this stuff, and it's hard to tell.
So talking though now, like, because for me, I don't consider myself, and I don't know like if you consider yourself like a chronic marijuana user.
I
guess
think
like, yeah.
I am.
And like, I guess in one like, way like, I am, because it's like over long periods of time. It's not like I do it once in a blue moon. It's like I do it once a week.
It's
maybe.
When you talk to like certain people that I'm like, oh my God, like I'm such a pothead. Because
but there are people we know who do it every day.
I know, but then that's what I mean. Then
well,
those,
you do. You do
those are the
I
people
do.
Who make you think that you're fine. And, but then it's like a majority of the people are not doing
yeah.
it every day.
So now talking about people who use it chronically, and by these studies definitions, that's 20 days in the last month.
Okay, let me see.
Are you counting now? Like, so for sure, I don't come anywhere near that. I maybe am like 3 or 4 days.
Self-righteous king.
I basically have so much self-control.
Wait, no. You only did it 3 or 4 days in the last 30 days?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but I also had wow. like a back injury and something else
what
happened.
What does that mean? That you would or you wouldn't?
I wouldn't do it if I... For me, I was like, I don't want to do it when I'm like injured.
I guess, yeah. Like, I guess I actually have probably in the last 30 days done it like 8 to 10 times.
Right. So like still a lot, but not 20.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I'm getting at. Okay. So of this group that was tested.
God is watching and qualified. Knows we're both lying. Continue.
So 64% were more likely to sleep less than 6 hours a night. And 76% were likely to sleep longer than 9 hours. This is important because studies over time have found like there's this sort of Goldilocks zone of 7 to 9 hours. And when humans fall outside of this, there's an increased risk for heart attack and strokes, diabetes, coronary artery disease, and other cardiovascular problems.
When you sleep more, because I'm in that camp these days.
More than 9 hours. Again, these are just like statistics. Okay. And they may or may not be skewed by sometimes people who have actual conditions, right? So if you have a disease, you might actually be sleeping more or less. But in general,
what if my disease is absolutely?
You think you sleep more than 9 hours? Well,
in my insane white privilege, privilege, I don't set alarms anymore.
Yeah, but how much time are you sleeping?
I'm sleeping for like 9.5 hours.
Wow. Oh, you're so lucky. I wish.
Well, I mean, every morning I just am like, okay, I'm like, I wonder what time it is. And it's always 9:30 and I always go to bed at midnight.
Oh, wow. No, that's good. But it's because I was going to say maybe you're catching up on like sleep deprivation, but in studies on sleep, they often find once people are given like a few weeks to recover, they'll end up between the 7 to 9 hours.
Okay.
So maybe, and also it may depend how long it takes you to fall asleep. Like you might be
have white noise on, earplugs in, eye mask on. Like
you're sleeping that long, it's probably a good thing. And you're a very active person during the day.
I'm saying. I'm like, oh, it's just because I played tennis for 3 hours. You're fine.
Well, no, it's good. Sleep is so important, especially if you are working out. I think I wouldn't worry too much about it because you're a very active person and very healthy. Because the problem is like being stagnant. Like
I'm also just embarrassed that I said my like insane privileged schedule where like I go to bed at midnight and get up at 9:30.
I don't think, honestly, like little side note, that anyone should be ashamed for the amount of sleep that they aim to get. Because I think we know more and more sleep is so important. And like, yes, it's a privilege like to be able to sleep. But I saw a meme that was like, oh, I've tried everything. Like I'll never get 9 hours or 8 hours of sleep. And then it's like, what about going to bed earlier? And it's like, no. Yeah. Like, right? Like, obviously there are people who don't actually have that privilege, but a lot of people could go to bed at 8 p.m. if they really had to.
Yeah.
And build that schedule. It's a lot harder to start going to bed earlier.
We also are in the like people having kids era. So I think that's where more guilt because I'm like,
yeah, they so don't, many of they my don't girlfriends have are
like in an absolute like insane sleep deprivation where it's like, oh, when like they talk about what they did that day, they're like, what'd you do? I'm like, oh no, I got up at a decent hour. Like it's like, because one thing that I had nothing to do with the weed thing, but that I was reading about yesterday was just health at different ages and how 30s is like when a lot of people have kids. Mm-hmm. And so it's a time when a lot of the metrics of health are based around like these insane times of losing sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But that like people cope, like adults cope, but like you can't expect your health to be based around good night's sleep when you're a parent.
Totally.
And then the one thing it said, the one thing it said was to eat marijuana. It's like, no, was that as parents, you try to do like shifts. So like one night where the one parent, like
kind of takes
if you're lucky enough to have a two parent household. Yeah. Takes responsibility so that the other can try and get 7 full
like
hours.
Like a full.
Yeah. They were like, that was their suggestion was like one on, one off.
Better to like get a full night than to always have a broken night. Sharing.
Yeah. And then it kind of meant like sleeping in a different place. So it's like the person who was like on the night off would sleep somewhere else. And then knowing that the next night you would do it for the other person. Yeah. Like, oh, that's actually interesting.
Yeah. Cause like a big part of sleep is you're wanting consistency through the night. And that is like, even going back to marijuana, people who have used weed within the last week in studies are more likely to have a hard time staying asleep.
Hmm.
So like broken sleep, which alcohol does as well. And that's sometimes cause you have to pee or whatever, but those like waking ups that are like interrupting your sleep cycle are not good for you. Even why they recommend not to drink too much fluid before bed, because just like waking up in the middle of the night is not great.
You're gonna actually think I'm so insane for what I'm about to say.
What?
But it was so hot last night.
And like temperature?
Temperature in the loft where we are. We're in our work loft right now that I left the door open and went to bed. Wide open.
You did not.
I did.
There's a window up there you can open.
I know. And then I woke up to go pee and looked down and was like, oh my God, the window is wide. The door is wide open and came and shut it. And
God,
I remember just like thinking about how like I'm such a weird person because it didn't faze me at all. And I went right back to bed and how like a lot
you
of
didn't
people,
close it?
No, I did close it, but like okay, but it didn't like even spook me. I was like, oh, okay, sweet. That's nice. I got draft until this moment. And I was like, people I know would be like,
you're
so
wild,
shocked and
literally
scared
like
that they wouldn't be able to sleep.
1 week ago, there was a raccoon with distemper outside of our door. Remember?
Okay. Like, Midge, you think my biggest concern is a raccoon coming in and biting my toe?
Or just like being in here, how are you going to get it out? That's one of the concerns. Like the other is obviously being robbed or somebody coming in that's not welcome. But I'm just saying, like, wild animals don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't know if that's weird. I leave that door open all the time. Like yesterday, me and Brian are going to start our podcast up again and we're going to do Jason Derulo. I was blasting Jason Derulo with the door open cooking and I was like, anyone walking by is like, well, that guy has fucked. Yeah, like that guy certainly hasn't slept in a while.
I have another study that was on 14,000 students, which I thought was interesting. I'm getting near the end of my stuff, don't worry. So insomnia was significantly higher by 45% in cannabis users compared to non-users. So in this sense, like, while we can't say it's causal, people who are using more weed have higher rates of insomnia. That may be like they might start using weed because they also were insomniacs. So it's hard to
know. And this is students, because the other study I had was on young people. It negatively affects their sleep and their grogginess, like, yeah, for sure.
And this same study found that, like, as your use increased, so the more you use, the higher that became. So up to 2 times higher to have insomnia than people who didn't use weed or rarely did.
Wow.
So it seems linked to how much you're using. And the only thing I kind of want to talk about was CBD, because there's a lot of marketing out there to promote CBD. Like, in case you don't know, CBD is sort of like the non-psychoactive part of cannabis.
Yeah.
So it can be like isolated, and you know, people promote it for like anti-anxiety or relaxing.
For your dogs.
Yeah, people give it to their dogs and stuff. And there is research on that that's like, not the dogs necessarily, but on people. Like, there's a lot of effort and millions, if not billions of dollars going into like researching and promoting CBD as a medicine.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to scroll through my stuff. So basically, it is much more promising than THC. Like, at low doses, they say CBD can be wake promoting, but at high doses, it seems to increase sleepiness. One of the things that they think, again, all of this is like very early in that it's like, don't take major conclusions from this.
Yeah.
But one of the hypotheses is that it seems to be hypothermic, which means that it makes your body colder, which is something you do when you're trying to sleep, right? Why baths are great, because your body, once you're out of the bath, is trying to get rid of all the heat and lower its body temperature. When you go to sleep, your body temperature drops. So that's one part. And the anti-anxiety part seems to be legit in that it quiets down your amygdala. So for people who do suffer from anxious thoughts or overthinking, especially right before bed, might be a useful thing to like fall asleep.
Yeah.
Again, this is like somebody with anxiety has potentially a condition. And so it's different than just like your average person taking it. But I thought that was interesting. And then they also think it might impact adenosine. So that is what, you know, when you drink caffeine, it's binding to your adenosine receptors and blocking this sort of like adenosine, which makes you sleepy. They think it modulates the sensitivity. So it's like the weight of adenosine is heavier, so there's stronger pressure for your sleep.
Huh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But again, this was all from like Dr. Walker, and he was like, it's so early, he would not prescribe this.
Yeah, and it feels like it's over.
Yeah, there's a lot of money CBD to companies. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that's kind of all I have. Like, again, I think I need to do more personal experiments to really see that, like, I do eat like crap, because it's fun to like get a yummy meal and chips when you're like.
But it is also a majority of the recent research says that it does negatively impact sleep.
Yeah. In conclusion, it's probably not, unless you have another more serious condition,
something
probably going to hurt you in the long run.
And then you might be dependent on it.
Yeah.
You're getting worse sleep. And then when you try and stop, it might be even hard worse, and it will take time. And I have a video about quitting marijuana that it does take a long time before your sleep actually improves. So it's not helping.
Yeah. And I think it's like, not to just use research to justify my own experience, but it's nice to at least know it. Cause I've always sort of been like, oh, but I feel so crap after. It's good to just be like, okay, it is impacting your sleep.
Yeah.
And outside of THC and CBD, like, there are lots of other chemicals in whether you're smoking or eating that are not super studied. And so it's like, they may also be playing a role in sleep and the impact on like the different sleep stages. So ultimately, if you're trying to get a good sleep, it's probably best that you're not using it as a crutch, even though it makes you feel like, even for me, so cozy and good.
And it might
make
you fall asleep faster.
Yeah. But ultimately, not great for your sleep.
Okay, are we going to do an episode on Zelda?
Oh, I'd love to.
Like,
I was
video games
thinking,
and like how?
We'll think about it. Maybe give us ideas, because it's so good. Even if you don't like Zelda, like, it's just so fascinating.
Yeah, it sounds so cool.
But I'm still so early on, And I want to give enough time that I won't be giving too many spoilers to anyone. But I'm a really slow player, so I'm not very far. So I kind of want more time before I can give it, like, my review. But maybe we can put it in the context of, like, video games.
Yeah.
Like an episode on video games.
Okay, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Post.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.